We're resuming the interview after a short break and the challenge of talking about your visits to Adelaide. Mm. But it's unusual that you've had two visits in a year.
Mm, because I felt that, you know, I had to see Mum after 6 years. Like I was saying, you know, she wasn't well. So my son said to me, Mum, you're going to go, even if you don't want to go. Go and see Nonna. And, you know, I came over and it was a beautiful 5 weeks, just me and her. Because when you come with people, you have to take them here, there and everywhere because they're not going to sit here in the house and just wait. So I came over and that's all I did was sit here with her, take her to the shop where she had to go do her shopping and then come home and stay with her for 5 weeks.
And you cooked?
And I cooked for her. I cleaned the house. We cleaned outside the garden. We did, no, but it was good. It was, yeah, it was something that I had to do. And then my husband said to me, oh, you're going to go? We're going to go back in October. Yeah, but October was so long from the end of February. The end of February I came over and I said, and if she doesn't get to the end of October, what's going to happen? But I had the help of my son. And it was saying, even Deborah, she was saying, no, you go, Mum, don't worry, we'll look after Dad here. And that's what I did. And then in October, because it was her 90th birthday, we came, you know, we're here now and we had a beautiful party and she was really happy and now it's time to go home. Yes.
And you've got your children and grandchildren to go back to.
And are waiting for us. And my four-year-old grandson said to me the other day, he said, Nonna, when you come home, I'm going to deal with you. In Italian. Facciamo I compiti. Because we were away so long.
And he's missed you.
And he's missed me very much. He even said to me the other day, Nonna, I said to him, what do you want me, Nonna, to bring you home? And he said, Nonna, I want a real kangaroo. And I said, I can't bring you home a real kangaroo. What are we going to feed him? Where are we going to put him? I said, if I take him home, he'll die. Ah, oh, he said, okay.
Mm. It's a good idea. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's lovely. Mm. And I wanted to ask you about how you feel about your identity now as a woman who is 62 and having lived in Italy for 39 years.
39 years, yes.
So do you feel Australian? Do you feel Italian? Do you feel Veneta?
No, I feel Australian. I was born here and I would always say, because at times I say to them, I'm an Australian. No, you're not. You've lived in Italy more than what you've lived. But I'm an Australian with Italian parents.
And with a husband and children.
Well, they are Italian because they were born there. My husband was born and lived there. But I always say that I'm an Australian with, decent Australian, Italian.
Mm. And so do you feel that you have roots here?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
Have your children got Australian passports?
Yes, both, because when I got married, I had to go to Milano to get forms done. And there was a lovely lady, she said to me, if you ever have kids, don't forget to enroll them or register them as when they were born as Australian citizens, because you never know what it's going to be like in 20 or 30 years. Maybe they, you know, have the necessity to come to Australia and they can have their Australian passport, and which I did, and they both came with an Australian passport.
And was that woman at the consul?
That was in the Council of Milano, which is now apparently, because I was trying to get my grandchildren something, but they said that we have to go to England now. I can't do it from Milano. I don't know why. When I go home, I'll see if I can get some forms done.
And how important is it for you to have your grandchildren as that link to Australia?
Actually, my son wrote to, he called me the other day and he said, Mum, have you done anything to find out if the kids can have an... Maybe he likes the idea also. Who knows why? Because, you know, you don't know how things are going to go in the next... when they grow up, when they're young boys. Mm.
Do you think that your children would have felt different as they were growing up, having a mother who was from Australia?
Oh, yes, they do. You know, they, even now that they are, Daniela's 38, and he always says, oh, my mum's Australian. She was born in Australia. She knows how to speak fluent English, you know. They're happy. Like I said, I'm sad that I never ever taught them. Yeah. It was something maybe that I don't know. It was something hard for me not being able to speak to them. But nobody helped me because I could have done it. I don't know why I didn't do it.
But you were by yourself.
I was by myself, yeah. I think if I had mum and dad, if I had another family, you know, you'd speak to them and the kids would pick up. Having nobody and not speaking it ever, the children won't pick it up. Mm. Maybe that, yeah. Or a brother or a sister. If I had somebody that I could speak to, like I'm speaking to you now, they'd sit there and listen to you and they'd pick it up.
And it would just sort of been part of
it. It would have been part of our life, yeah.
Yeah. Or if you had other English-speaking people close to you.
Oh, yeah, but you haven't. Those years, there was nobody coming out from there, yeah.
Which must have meant that you absolutely loved it when people came from Australia.
Oh, yeah, it was lovely because you'd see, you know, that you'd see them, that they were here with your mum and dad, and, yeah, I know, it was lovely.
Yeah. And how do you keep the balance between Australia and Italy? I guess being in contact with your mum so regularly.
And also with my sister-in-law, she's a beautiful person. Yeah, I ring her often on WhatsApp and tell her, what are you doing? Are you in bed? And then I've got two girlfriends over here also that now and then we talk to each other, yes.
And are they from school?
One's from work. Actually, both of them are from work, yeah. Kerry's from work and Sue also. Sue's up at Darwin and Kerry's in the country. Mm.
Oh, I wonder what your friends would have thought when you were leaving to go to Italy.
Good question. I never asked them that those years, yeah.
And we're really coming to the end of the interview, but I wanted to ask you two more questions. One is, what's the experience like of talking like this today in this interview? You know, how have you found that?
It's beautiful because you think of the past. I feel like I've never ever left Adelaide. I don't know, it's just a funny feeling that a person's got inside.
Mm. And is there anything else that you would like to say before we finish the interview that you haven't said already?
No, I don't think so. I think I've said everything. No, I think that's all.
Well, Adelina, I'd like to say thank you very much for giving the interview. I think it's going to be lovely to put your interview together with your mum's two interviews. And also because of your reflections about what it's like to have, you know, been born in Adelaide and had your life here up to 23 and then all those years in Italy. And
a lot of people said to me I was very brave to do what I did at that age, you know, over here. I had everything, you know, I had a beautiful job. I was young, who could have found a boyfriend over here, but maybe it's destiny or your life to leave your family. But I'm happy over there. I've got a beautiful family.
Mm. Do you think you were brave?
Very brave. Mm.
And if someone was in the same situation, what would you say?
No, don't do it. No. Because you need your family. Mm. Maybe because when you get old, you realise how hard it is being away from your family. When you're young, you're strong and you do everything. But every year that goes by, when you get old, you need your family. Yeah. Like I said, when I came over in February, my husband didn't want me to come. And I said to him, oh, yeah, it's 39 years that we've been married. I've never ever asked you once to go back if I could go home by myself, because he'd always come with me. And I said, you enjoyed your family in better and in worse, when they were young and all the fears that we had, now that a couple of his sisters and brothers have died, and you know, you're always together, you cry together, you have joy together. I'd never ever enjoyed my family. And so he sort of thought of what I said, and he, you know, said, okay, you can go. Yeah.
And it was obviously a really lovely time for you to do that.
Yes,
and for your mum.
Yeah,
too.
Especially for mum.
Yeah.
Because she said it to me the other day. She said, you haven't got time for me. I mean, it's hard, you know, when you've got people over with you, because I'm not going to sit here with you. And she said, oh, you know, I haven't got time for me. But mum, I said, she said to me, in February was beautiful 5 weeks, that there was only me and her.
Yeah. You were like companions,
yeah,
weren't
that's
you?
That's right.
Yeah. And so now you will be the companions over the phone
again. Over the phone again, yes, until next, not this January, but next January if my daughter decides to come over.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that will be nice.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. Well, Adelina, thank you very much again for giving me the time, especially the day before your coming.
You're welcome. Yes, it's beautiful.
And who knows, we'll see each other in Adelaide?
Or in Italy, but you come now and then over there. So, you know, this time it was a bit of a... it was a bit hard because you were over there and I had to come over here.
Well, it's great that we, you know, managed this. So yeah. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And a good trip home.
Yeah, hopefully.